Well, I am so privileged to have Moses' mother here this morning. She got stuck in the Nile, but she made it here in time for the service. Jochebed, it's wonderful to see you. Thank you for coming this morning. Sadly, Harry's not here, so you're stuck with me. Okay. All right. You can heckle. Well, I've got one over here and I have one over here, so we're good to go today. It is great to see you. I apologize for singling you out, but I got excited when you came in. I don't know if you noticed it, but my singing picked up. It did, so. I hope I wasn't flat. All right. It is wonderful. This morning, the sermon, kind of a unique title. I don't know if you've already looked at it. You probably have. Let's make a deal. Growing up here in the United States, we have a sense of paying the advertised price for something. Now, I'm not talking about cars or houses or big things. I'm really talking more about the things you purchase every day. Groceries, clothes, the restaurants when you go to a restaurant, movie tickets, CDs, DVDs. Back in our day, LPs and cassettes for those of you that can relate. Paper supplies, plants, things like that. I mean, we look at an item and then we check out the advertised price. And then in our minds, if we feel or believe the price is fair, we pick up the item, we pay for it. In fact, it is uncomfortable for us to ask or suggest a different price for an item. Now, we aren't necessarily in tune with the other countries of the world because they typically negotiate a price for any given object in a store. For instance, if you ever go into the market in the old town of Jerusalem, just a fantastic place, by the way, but if you ever get a chance to go there, everything is priced, but you're not really expected to pay the advertised price. Now, I'm not talking about the dollar souvenir items, okay? I'm talking about the bigger items, you know, $50, $60, $100, $6,000. You know, the $6,000 will come into play later. But anyway, the bigger ticket items. And they really expect you to negotiate with the shop owner for a better price. In fact, if you don't get what you believe is a fair price, you just walk away. And while you're walking away, they will track you. Hey, wait. You give me a price. You make offer. You give me a price. And as Americans, we're not conditioned that way. You know, we're used to looking at a price and saying, oh, well, that's a fair price. I'll pay that and I buy it and I go to the store. In fact, I remember Judy and I were shopping in a store, in Israel, in the old town. For 100% Persian rug. Now, I don't mean one you can put under your dining room table because I can't afford those. Silk, 100% silk Persian rug. Not one you can put under your dining room table because I can't afford those. What I call them is like a little throw rug. And even then was that bigger price that I mentioned earlier that I'm not going to talk about. Of course, my wife's like, oh, that's the one. And I'm looking at the price going, but anyway, during that process, the owner taught us an awful lot about 100% silk rugs, what to look for. If you turn them over and look at the knots and the way they're made, you can quickly tell the difference between a machine-made rug and a handmade rug. And then they told us all about the dyes and the way they dye the fabric and the silk and the design and what to look for. I'm going to be honest, I've pretty much forgotten all that stuff. I was still stuck on this ticket price. But anyway, we negotiated and we sat there and we settled on a rug and we kept negotiating. And several times I'd just look at it and, you know, I just like, yeah, that's a car price. I can't do that, you know. And he would talk and he would follow us around and he'd ask more things. And finally, I'd make an offer and he would tell me how his family would starve to death, you know, or that if he sold it for me, he'd lose the store because everybody would want one at that price, you know. And if you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about in Old Town. This event went on for quite a while and eventually we came to an agreed price, significantly less than the car price that we were quoted. That's just pretty much how business is done there. You're expected to negotiate for a price. We're not kind of raised that way. We're raised under the assumption that when we look at something and we look at the price, we're like, okay, that's a fair price. I'll pay that. Or what do? We put it back on the shelf and we just leave it. I remember a business course I was in years ago, marketing and negotiation skills class. And they gave us homework assignments, and it was around Halloween. And so our assignment for that night was to go buy a pumpkin and not pay the advertised price. Now think about that. Go to some place that's, you know, it could be the grocery store, it could be anywhere. Go someplace that's selling pumpkins and pick one up and select it, and then go to the cashier and say, you know, it says $29.95. Will you take $10? Now, how many of y'all will do that? You know what? I didn't do my homework. I just could not get enough gall to take a priced object up to a cashier and say, now, it's different if I was working with a farmer in a field, right? But in a business establishment, to take that up there and say, it says $30 and say, I'll give you $10. Take it or leave it. And there were a lot of people that came back and did that. In fact, one bought, they were like $5 a piece, and they bought two little small ones and came up and said, "Sis, I want both of these for $5. They're small. They're the smallest pumpkins out there. Can't I just get..." Okay. And the cashier rang it up again. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's that easy? So I just couldn't, I just couldn't bring myself to do that. I'm more of these black and white that, you know, I look at it and I say, that item, that price, that's a good price. I'll pay it. If not, I'll just put it back down. I'll go somewhere else. Well, today, we all want a good deal. More importantly, we don't want to feel like we've been cheated or ripped off. I had an economics professor that told me one time she went shopping for a car and the dealership quoted her a price. If any of you all are in car sales, don't take it personally, but they quoted her a certain price. And her point was they quoted her something like $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 over invoice. And she's like, look, you're a dealer. I want you to make a profit because that's how you stay in business. But I don't want you to make all your profit off of me. Right? Spread it around. I mean, I don't mind paying more for something. That's what business is about. That's how they keep the lights on. That's how they pay their people. I totally get that. Okay? But she's like, and she eventually drove an hour and a half to another dealership and bought the same car for the price she was willing to pay. About, you know, $500, $600, $800 over invoice. So, but I mean, we're just not raised in a way that we negotiate. We'll do that for cars. We'll do that for houses, right? Big items. But we don't do that for grocery, bag of chips. We don't negotiate that. It's not what we normally do. I remember one day we were at home, and I didn't ask permission to share this one either, and we were getting telemarketing calls. How many of y'all get telemarketing calls? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, and Judy answers the phone. I'm too nice. I usually let them go through their spiel, but she let them go through their spiel, and this lady was telling her how she could save her money by moving to their credit card because it was less interest. And she says, don't you want to save money? And I hear my wife go, nope, happy paying what I'm paying. Death silence on the other end of the phone. You could have heard a pin drop. They're like, what do I say? They're fine paying as much as they are. They don't want to save any money. It was actually quite hilarious in the house at the time when she hung the phone up. We laughed and laughed and laughed about it. It was just amazing. They just didn't know what to say because we normally say, I want to save money. Clearly today we are a society more aware of good pricing for a specific object. We're more price aware today than ever. We've got so many resources at our fingertips to determine if a given price is a good price. I mean, today the first thing you do is what? Go look on Amazon, right? Or go look on eBay. All right, those of you that aren't savvy to that, your kids are and your grandchildren are. And you do all your shopping that you can look at a good price. You don't want to pay too much for a car. You know what you do? You go to truecar.com, put in your zip code, and they'll tell you for the car you're looking for what the average price paid in your area is for that zip code, for that car. That's actually kind of cool because every time somebody buys a car, they'll post what they paid, and then that way you get a feeling for what's in that market space. If we're looking for something or if we're seeking a deal, let's say a car, we know about all the options, the warranties, the MSRP, even the average price, everything that we need to know. And then we take all those variables into consideration and we go looking for the best deal. In 1963, a new TV show hit the airwaves with Monty Hall as its host, and it was called Let's Make a Deal. How many of you all know that show? All of you should have watched it, I know. Let's Make a Deal. By the way, did you know Monty Hall was one of the creators and producers of the show? I never knew that. I thought he was just the host. But he was one of the creators. Anyway, I know you've all seen it and how it worked. Individuals were selected by the host to make a deal for something. Sometimes it was, you know, I'll give you $100 if you have a fingernail file. Now, they usually asked the guy, and then he'd turn to his wife and get a fingernail file. And people dressed up in all types of things, because the more extravagant you dressed up, you got selected, right, to do a deal. Anyway, once he gave you the $100, then he said, you can have this, or you can have something in this box. And you were given a deal. And you didn't know, well, was the $100 I've got better than what's in the box? And sometimes the box was really fancy. Sometimes the box was what they called a zonk. You know, like tuna for a year. Cans of tuna for a year or something like that. Typically, the top winner of the show was given a chance to play the deal of the day. Remember, it was called the deal of the day? And they would go down, and it consisted of three curtains. And you were given an option to pick a curtain. One of the curtains had the grand prize behind it. One of the curtains kind of had a zonk, right? And one of the curtains kind of had a medium price behind it. And you would pick one, and what would Monty do? He would open one, right? So, how many of you are mathematicians? Nobody wants to. I know Patty is. Right? John's a mathematician. So, you have three choices, and most people will figure out that if I've got a choice among three things, independent choice, it's a 33% chance I'll get the right item. One out of three. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. So when you make your first curtain choice and you pick it, and then he shows you another curtain that's not the one you picked, right? You're now down to what? Two. Is it best to stay with the one you picked or take the other curtain? If you take the other curtain, it's a 66% chance you'll win. Now, it's not intuitive to us because we think one in three and then one in two. But the reality is it's one in three, but then he took a choice off the table that he knew wasn't right. So now you're at two-thirds of a choice. And actually, if you take the other, if you switch, you actually have a 66% chance of getting the right curtain. Everybody's looking at me like, yeah, I don't buy that. Trust me. Trust me. Most of the physicists that are asked that question stay with the first curtain. Even though mathematically it is proven out that you will win more if you change your choice. If you change your choice. It's actually called now the Monty Hall problem. So if you want to read more about it, just go to Wikipedia or Google and say Monty Hall problem, and it'll work out exactly the percentages and how it works. If you're not a mathematician, don't worry about it. You're going to stick with your first choice anyway because I know how you're thinking. Okay. Essentially, everyone in the game show and everyone on TV would know whether or not the person actually made a great deal by the time they opened the curtains up. Now, what does "let's make a deal" have to do with today's sermon? From our reading this morning in Revelations, verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Question. Are sacrifices deals? Are sacrifices deals? Or are they payment for what has already been done? Now, in the Old Testament, it's clear that the sacrifices performed by the priests were to atone for the people's sins against God, Yahweh. The animals were sacrificed and then typically burnt upon an altar to God. Throughout the scriptures, there are numerous references to the sacrifice of animals, living creatures with blood flowing through their veins. Do you remember what happened to the one person in Scripture that offered something other than a living sacrifice for atonement? Anybody remember who I'm talking about? Cain fell out of favor with God and became so wrought with anger that he slew his brother, Abel. Cain was a toiler of the fields and presented seeds and vegetables and stuff to God, and God did not appreciate it. The ultimate sacrifice is giving one's life for another. John 15:13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." This is why we should stand in great admiration and support of our military. They have signed a blank check to our country that could require their life, independent of the politics around the event in which they served. They signed a check. By the way, the early Christians were the same way, except it wasn't for a country that they gave their life. It was for their faith. They were persecuted and publicly executed, and not in a worshipfully way, but in a cruel, cutthroat way. They were burned at the stake. They were hung upside down. They were fed to lions for amusement. They died for their faith. They signed the check and gave their life for their faith. It is the life and blood of the living creature that is the substance of sacrifice. There is a whole theological study around sacrifice and how the sacrifices of the Old Testament were merely rolling back the sins of the people until the ultimate sacrifice was paid through Christ. You see, the sacrifices of the Old Testament did not remove the sin of the people, but cleansed their actions before God and sought atonement. It is only through the blood of Christ that we receive eternal life and complete forgiveness for all of our sins. It is that process that makes us presentable before God the Father. So, do we really want a deal for salvation? Do we really want to negotiate for the best possible deal? You see, in a deal, you don't always know what you are getting. Just like in the show, Let's Make a Deal. As Christians, we know exactly what we are getting. There are no unknowns. We don't want a deal because we have the Lamb that has already paid the supreme price. He gave His life so that we may have a path to God, that we may be forgiven of our sins, that our sins may be washed away out of the book of life, as if they never, never occurred. Our individual page in the book of life will be white as snow. I don't know about you, but I seek no deal. I seek no bargain. I do not wish to negotiate. The price has been paid in full, and I accept that which has been given freely to me, openly and wholeheartedly. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever, forever I am. I pray that we all have the burning desire to share and explain to those we meet that there is no dealing needed. No trading back and forth. Only acceptance. Let us pray. Our Father, in this world, so many deals are thrown at us that we believe we have to give something to get something. And yet it is so hard for so many to receive what You have freely given to us. Father, may we take this grace that You have given us, the blood that has washed away our sins. Father, may we have a burning desire in our hearts to share that message with others. and to teach them that you do not need to deal to be a follower of Christ. For we ask these things in your name. Amen.